from the one who came in a very humble way to serve, who has promised again to come in all glory to receive us to be with him, our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace to all of you. Amen. As was noted, we will be following our gospel reading for this day as it's recorded for us in Matthew. If you'd like to open your service folders to that to follow along, that would be great. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, expectations. Oh, how we live in a time filled with expectations. There's all sorts of expectations. What's going to happen when a new president comes into power? There's all sorts of expectations out there about, well, are we going to be able to still be seeing a team play football in January? How's it going to work out? We have all sorts of expectations, don't we? There's expectations of that great white blanket that's outside right now, and a little bit more to come. And for some that say, oh, the expectations of actually playing in that snow. Well, some of you are going, there's nothing playful about it. Expectations. Oh, and we're in the season of expectations too, aren't we? Oh, there's all sorts of things. There's trips being planned and vacations being planned. And oh, the expectations of going to some place that's balmy and warm and nice. And then we have those expectations of the family gathering together and all the food that's going to be available and all the cookies and things. Of course, all the presents. We got to go and get all the expectations. When everyone gathers together in the celebrations and the parties, we're filled with expectations. The only problem with expectations is they're not always met, are they? No, I'm sure come January when there's a new president in place, there are going to be a great number of people that didn't have their expectations fulfilled. There's going to be any number of fans who are going to have to, and actually football players as well, who are going to have to watch football on the television in January instead of watching it from field. There's going to be any number of people that are going to be disappointed because something like this is going to screw up all the airplane flights and everything, and they're not going to get off on time, and their plans are all going to get dashed. There's going to be any number of disappointments and expectations when it comes to all those gifts and presents too, aren't there? Because we know that for a fact, because many of the stores are going to reserve a great number of square feet of their merchandise storeroom to be able to have people come back with all their disappointments, with all their failed expectations and returns. What are we going to do then? We're filled with expectation, and yet we always have this gnawing thought in the back of our mind, it's not going to happen right. You know how things, when they're going really well, right? We just think, well, what's going to happen next? It just can't keep going this way. In this sin-filled world that we have, a lot of times our expectations are dashed, and a lot of times we don't even get excited about them because we figure it probably won't work anyway. But there are some expectations which are fulfilled all the time, every time, and will never disappoint. Because you see, Jesus meets our every expectation. Our every expectation for this life and for the life to come. He meets our every expectation as we see his actions, as we hear the word of the Lord. And that's what we do today. We focus on the fact that Jesus does meet our expectations. To look at that, we go to Matthew. The context of this is fairly simple to gather. We realize that John the Baptist had been put in prison. He'd been put in the prison, probably in the fortress way down off the east side of the Dead Sea, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Probably been in prison for a year. Why was he in prison? Because he spoke the word of the Lord, because he tried to correct Herod, because Herod went off and married his brother's wife, Herodias, and as he was chastising the king for that, the king, well, he couldn't kill him. He probably wanted to, but he realized he still had to keep the people happy, so he just threw him into prison, probably there for a year now. And John's disciples, how they made contact with him, we're not aware, but eventually they're talking to John. You know, it probably was a little disappointing, wasn't it? After John had been carrying out his ministry, after Jesus had come there to be baptized by John, after John himself had seen the glory of God, you know, the heavens opened up, he heard the voice of God, he saw the dove descend on Jesus, knew that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that wonderful experience that he had. Now, after a year in prison, was he beginning to wonder? Were the expectations that he had not being met? Or was it maybe his disciples? You know, this is a question that's been debated for years and years. Was it John who was doubting, or was he being the master teacher for his disciples? His disciples had been very loyal to John. Matter of fact, when Jesus was growing in popularity, they talked to John and they said, you know, look at, he's getting more popular than you are, John. John said, that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. I become less and he becomes greater. But maybe the disciples of John too were a little confused. Wait a minute. You said this was the Messiah. They had a unique expectation for the Messiah, someone who would rescue them from Roman domination, someone who would restore the glory of Israel to make it like it was under King David and King Solomon. Oh, they were looking forward to that. And so you're going to look at someone who's going to lead this revolt, this rebellion against them, and be a great leader, and Jesus wasn't doing any of that. Jesus was this carpenter's son from Nazareth, this soft-spoken one. And so maybe they were wondering, really, John, is this the one? So what does John do? He sends them on a little mission. He says, I want you to go and ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we expect another? You know, failed expectations get us to doubt too sometimes, don't they? Let's be fair. We deserve better than we got sometimes, and we didn't have that coming, and that wasn't supposed to happen. We take a look at the problems that we have and we say, wait a minute, I follow Jesus, I follow the Lord, where is he right now? And we start maybe questioning, doubting the power of God, doubting the majesty of the one who is our Lord and Savior, because we don't see it happening with the grand appearance of God. Oh, how we would like to see that, wouldn't we? We'd love to see a little lightning bolt or two come down from above, wouldn't we? Really hit those bad people. Make them a little pile of dust. We'd love to see the earth open up and swallow up all the evildoers, huh? We'd even settle for a little whisper out of the cave just to know that God exists. And in our doubt, we're reminded that Jesus meets our expectations. Because as the disciples went to Jesus, hear his answer. He could have answered, yes. I mean, it was a simple yes-no question, really. Are you the one we expect, or should we expect someone else? That's a yes-no, simply yes. But Jesus, ever caring, ever loving, ever the master teacher, doesn't just give them the yes. He almost pulls what we as parents used to do. Back before Siri and Google and Wikipedia and all the resources that are there at your fingertips on your phone, there were things called dictionaries, you know, books with words in them. And then a longer version of those dictionaries were encyclopedias. If you want to know anything, look it up in the encyclopedia. So if a child would come to mom, say, hey, how do you spell this? They would say, look it up in the dictionary. Which actually is kind of a little bit silly, because if you don't know how to spell it, how are you going to find it in the dictionary to begin with? But, or if you didn't have an answer to something, look it up in the encyclopedia. Well, what was that doing? It wasn't just being, shall we say, I don't want to deal with the question right now type of parenting. No, it actually was actually trying to teach. Get them involved in the research. Get them involved in the learning. That's what Jesus is doing here. He doesn't just say, yeah, I'm the one. Go tell John I'm the one. That would neither satisfy them nor satisfy John if it was his question. The yes answer would not satisfy, because they had different expectations of the Messiah. And Jesus didn't seem to be meeting those. And if he just said yes, they still weren't being met. So what does Jesus say? He says, listen, go and tell John and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. We don't have the news going around the world. No radios, no television, no newspaper, no magazines. So what did they do? They saw what was happening. They saw the miracles. The lame being able to walk. The blind being able to see. These were miracles that were already predicted by the prophet Isaiah would be evidence that this is the Messiah. Jesus knew full well that his person didn't necessarily live up to the expectations they'd have had of being a great hero, being this great warrior to turn everything around. And he says, blessed are those, or blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. What you have to do is look at the evidence. The evidence is there. It's given to us back in Isaiah. Isaiah wrote in chapter 35, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Now hear this. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Isaiah had said, this is the one you can expect. This is the one to look forward to. John's asking, Jesus is saying, look at what's there. It's all being fulfilled. Word for word, step for step. As a matter of fact, he says, don't get discouraged just because you see me. Isaiah also had an answer for that one as well, didn't he? Because later on in 53, what does he say to us here? He who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Fits Jesus, doesn't it? This is the Messiah. The expectations that they had been waiting for millennia to come fulfilling God's promise was right there in Jesus. But because their expectations had been skewed, they were missing seeing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And sometimes our expectations are so skewed as well, aren't they, friends? We have expectations of how our life should turn out, the blessings that we should have, the things that should happen to us or not happen to us, the illnesses that should never strike our family, the problems that should never strike our home, the disarray that should never be in the places that we live. Oh, we see these things and we begin to wonder, are you the one or should we expect another? And Jesus says, take a look. Take a look at what I have done. I'm not just identifying myself as Messiah and saying, now believe it. I'm showing you. Each time he performed a miracle, he was showing who he was, that he had set aside his glory in love for you and me, taking on, as we read in Philippians, the role of a servant, even to the point of dying on the cross, that we might have the full and complete fulfillment of all our expectations, that the things of this life, as dismaying as they may be at times, as difficult and hard as they may be at times, are minimal compared to the glory that awaits us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And what a glory that is. You see, as John's disciples left, Jesus answers them, and it doesn't seem like they hang around very long. He says, okay, we got our answer. They look around, they see all the things that Jesus is doing, they listen to his words, they watch all the miracles, they see all this, and they head back. It would be kind of, picture if you would, if, say, the two of you had been bringing the question of John to me. But it's very public. This wasn't a private meeting. And we were talking, and you asked the question, and I was answering. Of course, everybody else is listening, aren't they? So now as John's disciples left, listen to what Jesus says about John. As his disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about him. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? Man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? Prophet? Yeah, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. What about John? There isn't anybody bigger or better than John. He's a prophet, the one that the Lord had said, I'm going to send someone ahead to get everybody alert to the fact that he's coming, that the Messiah is going to be there. Matter of fact, John had a unique privilege. As a prophet, you would always prophesy about things coming into the future. John could do that. He prophesied about the coming Savior. The difference that made him greater than all the other prophets, he got to see it. The other prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they prophesied, you know, centuries before. They never got to see the Messiah. John did. He got to see Jesus. He got to point to him and says, there's the one. Folks, listen to me. That's the one who will take away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God. And John didn't just point that out for the benefit of those gathered around the Jordan River. He was inspired to say those words to point out for you and me, that's the one we've been waiting for. That's our Savior, the one God promised over the millennia. That's important for us because there are so many things that would discourage us. Even at this time of great expectation, even at this time in preparation for Christmas, there's so many disappointments in our life. And sometimes we wonder, and all we need to do is go back and listen about John. Listen to Jesus tell us, He's told everybody I was coming. I'm here now. Rejoice in that fact and don't be discouraged because of what I look like, because of what I do, because it isn't exactly what I want. Yes, we would like the thunder and the lightning sometimes, right? But he comes in the still small voice of his word to tell us a Savior has been born to you. A Savior just for you to take you out of the darkness of this life into the glory of everlasting life. Notice how he closes that off then. He says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there's not risen any greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's kind of one of those difficult passages too, isn't it? What do you mean, greater than he? Well, remember when Thomas doubted that Jesus had risen? And then when he saw Jesus, he proclaims, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What a gift we've been given to know Jesus is our Lord and Savior. To know that however great the sin, however great the trespass, however great the disappointment, however discouraging things might be, however many of our anticipations and expectations have not been met, Jesus meets the important ones. Because you see, if the gift doesn't fit, or isn't the right color, or isn't the model you wanted, or just isn't something you wanted at all, it's not a real big deal, is it? If the meal doesn't turn out, and the travel plans have to be changed, and the gatherings are a flop, not a real problem there either, is it? Because the one greatest expectation of all, that of the stepping into glory, is something that Jesus has met fully and completely for you and me. That's what we wait for. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate the manger and the little baby in that manger. We celebrate God fulfilling his promise and our expectations, every one of them, perfectly, wonderfully, graciously, to give us hope and life everlasting. A lot of expectations don't get met. But then again, maybe they weren't that important. But the important ones have all been met in our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Amen.